I like insurance. I feel better knowing that I have insurance. I hope I won't get into a car accident, but if I do, I'm insured. It's still going to be scary and, you know, it's going to be all that, but I know that I've done what I can do to mitigate the downside if I do have an accident. You can actually do the same thing when it comes to the end of your life. We have talked about estate planning and end of life care and all that stuff a lot on this show, but I just found a really great resource that I wanted to share. It is called the Advanced Care Planning Kit, and it comes from Dying with Dignity Canada. And we're going to talk about it. Susan Desjardins is a board member with Dying with Dignity Canada. She joins us today from Victoria, BC. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Great to be here.
What is the essence of Dying with Dignity? What's the essence or the philosophy that people should have by way of context?
I would say when you boil it right down, our goal is to ensure that people don't have to endure unnecessary suffering at the end of life.
It's beautiful. And you know, I am blessed by having parents for whom this is an easy conversation to have. I know that isn't the case for all families where parents don't have an easy time talking about it with their kids, or kids don't have an easy time talking about it with their parents. But my mom flagged this resource. She said, take a look at this PDF. We got to talk about it. So people are going to go to your website. They're going to download this PDF. When they open it up, what will they find?
Well, they will find what I'd like to call a method of planning to ensure, as you talked about insurance, that you have in place what's needed in the event that you have a serious injury or an illness or are approaching end of life. Think of it as an umbrella that shelters your estate plan, which you mentioned, any financial preparation you might do, your healthcare documentation, and clear definitions of your own values and beliefs.
You include this, it's a great visual actually of an umbrella with all that you discussed. Some of them we've talked a ton about, like estate planning. Yep, got it. We have talked less, and I think in our culture, we talk less about values and beliefs. What sort of questions does one ask themselves or others to distill what those values and beliefs are?
We have found that oftentimes it's as simple as thinking about your end of life and what are the things that you fear the most and what are the things that are most important to you. So, for instance, do you fear unnecessary suffering? Do you fear not being able to communicate with your loved ones? What's important to you? Is autonomy and control important to you? Is volunteering important to you? Mm. Time with your loved ones. So we try and engage people in conversations and thinking about those kinds of things.
There's also a realm or a section under that umbrella called ongoing discussions. What ongoing discussions should we be having and how often?
Well, the main thing is you want to actually use the kit and be prepared to create what we call an advance directive, which is a way of expressing your wishes with respect to healthcare. And you want to talk about those things with your loved ones. In particular, you want to discuss these issues with the person you appoint as your power attorney for personal care or substitute decision maker, as it's also called, and also with, for instance, your family physician or healthcare team if you have certain healthcare issues that have involved you with a healthcare team.
You've got some tips here on how to get this done, and I love them because on the one hand, it's a PDF, fill it out, you're fine. On the other hand, it's a big project. There's a lot of emotional stuff that goes through it. So three that you've highlighted are a buddy system, bite-sized pieces, and rewards. I assume you mean chocolate. Tell me about those three tips and how they play into getting this done.
Well, I think your mother used the first tip really well, Bruce. Because she got in touch with you and said, you need to help me with this. Mm. So I think that's one of the things that is really important, because by doing that, she has engaged you in a conversation about what matters to her. And whether or not you're her substitute decision maker, that's really important that she feels she can talk to you about it. We would encourage someone like your mother to also discuss it with whoever is appointed as their substitute decision maker. And you can encourage people to think about this topic by reading some books, like the book called Being Mortal by Atul Gawande.
So good.
Get into that mindset, right? Dividing it into manageable sections. Well, you know, thinking about your values takes some time and thought. And oftentimes it's hard for people to do that. So in some instances, you might want to get a group of like-minded friends together. Maybe it's your bridge club who, like all of us, are perhaps getting a little older and want to talk about what they should be doing or planning for end of life. Chocolate, of course. You know, if you have the conversation with your bridge club, there has to be chocolate cake afterwards.
100%. 100%. 100%. Now, I want to ask you about something else that you include in the PDF. It's called the Clinical Frailty Scale. And it's a little terrifying, but it's also really helpful. How do you believe people should use it or think about it?
Well, the main thing here is that as you're preparing your advance directive and thinking about these things, you want to give some consideration to your own health conditions and what the implications of them might be. So you want to ask yourself some questions about your health conditions that will better prepare you for the advance care directive. For instance, do you have chronic health conditions that might affect how your life evolves? Do you have a potentially life-threatening or life-ending condition right now? Are you aging? And this is where the frailty scale comes in. And perhaps you're becoming less capable of doing certain things with respect to your day-to-day care. You want to consider all those things. And the frailty scale is simply a tool to help you consider where you might be in terms of your own health condition.
What I found so great about it was it's an acknowledgement that if we're still alive, like we're still living and breathing and alive, we are going to become increasingly frail over time. It's the way that the human physiology works. It's not bad. It's not good. It just is. And I thought that was a really refreshing bit of honesty.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we're all getting a little bit older and of course we're doing what we can to try and stay as healthy as possible, both physically and mentally. But as you say, it's sort of inevitable. So yeah, you might as well face it and take the appropriate action.
Physically, mentally, and aesthetically, like a whole round of like the Botox and the surgery. I'm dyeing my hair. I'm kidding. I'm not doing any of those things. Let me ask you this. One of the things in the zeitgeist right now is MAID, medically assisted dying. That is something that we're seeing headlines about that is worthy of conversation as a part of this. How does this process factor in those conversations?
So as you say, it's certainly been in the news recently. And as we know from various surveys, Canadians are very interested and very supportive of having a choice at end of life. So in the preparation of your advanced care plan and your advanced directive, the main focus is on your wishes and your beliefs. And in the event that you find yourself in, let's say, a particular healthcare situation, what care you would want or not want. So that's the focus of it. But that also leads us to the issue of if you find yourself in a healthcare situation where you may be facing a life-threatening or life-ending illness, you may not want to suffer unnecessarily. Let's say if you're at a point where treatment is not going to make a difference to the end outcome. And although only you as an individual can make a request for assisted dying, no one else can do that. No one else can authorize it. We are encouraging people to, if they feel that this is something that they might want in the future, given certain circumstances, to document that information and include it with the advance directive. It's more information for your substitute decision maker about what your wishes are. It's something that we are finding now lawyers are willing to include for people in their overall documentation, including their will and their advance directive. And in the future, it might help to have your wishes respected if, for instance, we get to a point where individuals are permitted to make an advance request for an assisted death.
So the process is consider, decide, document, and review. Having been in this world, you've been associated with Dying with Dignity for a long period of time. What would you say in that process is the hardest part or the one people get stuck on the most? Is it just getting started or is it taking this process through to the finish?
I would say it's probably more the getting started. Because as you mentioned, this is not a topic that people are very comfortable thinking about. No one wants to think about a loved one dying. It's not where we want to be. But we've also found that people feel much more comfortable when they've had these conversations with their loved ones. They feel more secure that their healthcare provider understands what they wish their wishes are. And what they effectively are doing is unburdening the loved ones who might have to be considering decisions around their person's healthcare, their parent or their brother or their, whoever it might be, and not be sure what that person wanted. So by doing this, you are able to clarify what you feel you would want in given circumstances and relieve your loved ones of that burden.
Susan, thank you for joining us to talk about this. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Bruce.
Susan Desjardins is a board member with Dying with Dignity Canada, and she was here to talk about something called the Advanced Care Planning Kit. If you go to their website, you can download it. It's a PDF. It's a really easy read. It's a very practical approach. There's some work to do, but you will be glad that you did it.